In 2007, a charismatic Englishman who ran a doomsday cult from his living room in WA vanished with his partner, their child and a friend.
He asked me what planet I was from.
He's a very odd guy.
Something wasn't right.
I'm Dominique Bayens, host of the new season of Expanse, The Nanup 4, where we dive into a murky world of cults, control and secret identities. Search Expanse on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Scott Rhoda walks towards the open doors of the Reformation Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas, USA. It's the spring of 2009, and a Sunday morning service is underway. Now in his early 50s, Scott Rhoda wasn't always a churchgoer. He found God in his mid-30s. He describes watching the televangelist Pat Robertson's TV show one day, when suddenly he just fell to his knees, a born-again Christian. But the church he's at today is not his usual church, and he's nervous. As he enters, he sees Dr. George Tiller standing just inside. George Tiller is a regular here, a lifelong churchgoer and a volunteer usher. He's greeting congregants, helping them find their seats. Dr. Tiller runs a medical practice in Kansas, a state in the geographical center of the US. Tiller was born in Wichita and has lived here for much of his life. He's 67 years old and a Republican voter. Scott Rhoda recognizes Dr. Tiller and heads towards him. When he gets to within speaking distance, he stops, pulls out a .22 caliber handgun and shoots George Tiller in the side of the head at point-blank range. Tiller falls to the ground dead. Two witnesses start to pursue the assassin, but he threatens to shoot them as well, so they stop and let him go. Scott Rhoda races back to his car and drives away. Police later find a piece of paper in Rhoda's car with an organization's name and phone number written on it. Operation Rescue, a direct action anti-abortion group. Because the thing about Dr. George Tiller is he wasn't just any old doctor. He was the most well-known abortion provider in Kansas. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Pahari, and this is Assassins, the show where we tell the stories of the world's most shocking assassinations. Today, two white American Christian men on two very different sides of a big question. When does life begin? In America, the anti-abortion pro-life world has been dominated by Christians. But even they don't always see eye to eye. Many pro-lifers immediately condemn the killing of Dr. George Tiller. Operation Rescue, that organization which appeared on the scrap of paper in Scott Rhoda's car, responds publicly to the killing of Dr. Tiller. Quote, "We've worked for years through peaceful, legal means and through the proper channels to see him brought to justice. We denounce vigilantism and the cowardly act that took place this morning." End quote. But other anti-abortionists cheer. At the time, Wiley Drake was an office bearer in the Southern Baptist Convention. This is what he says about the assassination on his radio show. "Would you have rejoiced when Adolf Hitler died during the war? I would have said, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm glad he's dead. This man, George Tiller, was far greater in his atrocities than Adolf Hitler. So I'm happy, I'm glad that he's dead." Dr. Tiller and his clinic were well known in anti-abortion circles. Looking back, a nurse at the clinic, Kathy Reavers, reflected, "We were under siege the whole time." Operation Rescue, amongst others, had been targeting Dr. Tiller for decades. It's July 1991, and Operation Rescue has set up a huge blockade outside Dr. Tiller's clinic. They're calling it the Summer of Mercy. Thousands of anti-abortion activists are arrested for trying to physically stop anyone from entering the abortion clinic. The phrase baby killer is shouted at people as they try to enter the building. The protesters also chant, "Tiller, Tiller, baby killer." One of the people in the blockade is Shelley Shannon, a radical in the anti-abortion movement. She later says of this time, quote, "I did a lot of picketing and other pro-life activities. Sometimes I felt like a failure when I stood with a sign and didn't do everything I could to try to save the babies' lives." Shannon had numerous trespass charges around this time. But after this blockade, she became a serial arsonist with a long arrest sheet and numerous short stints in jail. And Shelley Shannon is a key player in the events leading up to the death of Dr. George Tiller. Fast forward to 2009, a few months before Scott Roeder shoots the doctor. Roeder's been making regular visits to a female inmate in Kansas. That inmate, you guessed it, is the abortion clinic arsonist Shelley Shannon. And Rhoda's visiting her for a very particular reason. Shannon's doing time because she's the only other person to attempt to assassinate Dr. George Tiller 15 years earlier. Here's what happened. It's August the 19th, 1993, and we're outside Tiller's clinic. Shelley Shannon is about to confront him as he's sitting in his car. Unlike the big blockade she'd been at 2 years before, today there isn't much of a crowd at all. Shannon walks up to the car and points a gun through the window. As he starts to drive away, she shoots twice, hitting Tiller in each of his arms. He survives the attack and is back at work the next day, but from then on, he wears a bulletproof vest as often as possible. Shannon admits to the attack, telling police, "I shot Tiller. If ever there was a justifiable homicide, this is it." But she also said she shot his arms to prevent him carrying out more abortions. After these admissions in court, she digs herself an even deeper hole. At one point, she surprises her own lawyer by saying she's keen to make bail so she can bomb Tiller's clinic. Shannon is found guilty of attempted murder and is sent to prison for 11 years. The judge tells her that if she believes in the sanctity of human life, then two wrongs don't make a right. But at her sentencing, she says, quote, "It would be hypocritical to pretend like I did something wrong when I know I didn't." She tells her daughter, "It was the most holy, most righteous thing I've ever done." End quote. And she's not the only one to feel like this. There's a lot of violence in this period being directed at abortion clinics and their staff. But how did George Tiller come to be at the center of such a contentious issue in American medicine? George Tiller was born in Kansas and lived there for most of his life. His father, Jack, was a prominent doctor. As a kid, George would be dragged along on home doctor visits, and it was on one such trip that he decided that he too wants to practice medicine, a chip off the old block. Young Tiller dreamt of becoming a dermatologist. In July 1970, he marries his high school sweetheart, Jean, and the pair plan to move to California so George can pursue his dreams of becoming a skin specialist. But then, tragedy strikes. His father, mother, sister, and brother-in-law all die in a plane crash. This isn't just personally devastating for George, it also upends all his plans. His sister has a one-year-old, and so George and Jean adopt him. Tiller realizes he won't become a dermatologist after all. He he's going to have to take over his dad's medical practice in Kansas. So here we are. George Tiller has just turned 30 and he's running his dad's medical practice. And before long, another bombshell. As Tiller starts treating his father's female patients, he learns that for decades, his father has been providing secret illegal abortions. At first, he's shocked and appalled by the news. He doesn't know what to do. But then women keep telling him that they view his father as a hero. George Tiller later says, quote, "The women in my father's practice, for whom he did abortions, educated me and taught me that abortion is about women's hopes, dreams, potential, the rest of their lives. For women, abortion is a matter of survival." Tiller's Christian faith gives him a different focus of care from that of the anti-abortion Christians. His motto becomes, "Trust women." It's January 22nd, 1973, less than 3 years after George's family dies in a plane crash. The United States Supreme Court hands down its infamous Roe v. Wade decision. It paves the way for abortion care to come out into the open. Clinics and medical practitioners like Dr. George Tiller no longer have to hide. But the High Court decision also inadvertently ignites a movement that will become powerful and well-organized over the decades to come. But in all this, why did Dr. George Tiller, in particular, become a target? Well, at the time, he was one of only 5 doctors in America who were publicly admitting to performing late-term abortions. Late-term abortions are usually defined as being at or after 21 weeks gestation. Even back then, they were very rarely performed, and usually only for pretty traumatic reasons. For example, the mother is extremely young, the woman has been sexually assaulted, or the baby won't survive long and could suffer if the pregnancy continues. All this brings us back to the day of the assassination. After Scott Roeder kills Dr. George Tiller on that spring Sunday in 2009, he flees in his car and drives for 3 hours. Police capture and arrest him and charge him with murder. He doesn't deny the killing and is later sentenced to what's known as a hard 50, a minimum of 50 years before you can apply for parole. This sentence is later reduced to 25 years without parole. A tough 20, perhaps. By then, it'll be 2035, and he'll be 77 years old. And one more thing before we go. It's 2012. Tiller has been dead for 3 years. Scott Roeder's in jail, and the clinic is closed. Dr. Julie Burkhart had worked alongside George Tiller for 8 years. He was her mentor and her friend. She offers to buy the clinic from George's widow, Jean. They agree on a price, and a year later, the clinic's doors are open once again. It's been renamed Trust Women, after the phrase made famous by George Tiller. Immediately, the threats begin. People tell her, "Prepare to meet thy God," and "Where's your church?" Dr. Burkhart sees some irony in all this talk of God. Her friend, Dr. Tiller, was a committed Christian himself. He was killed while serving his religious community at a local Lutheran church in his hometown one Sunday morning. Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Sound by Tegan Nichols. Kyla Slaven is the supervising producer. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend. And please join us next time as we look a bit closer at the assassin Scott Roeder and the radical anti-abortion movement he was part of.